Kṣātyāte Anubhuṃte Kṣātyāte Tattānoptya Buddho Bhavam Tattāpnotya Buddho Bhavam Yattāśayāna Atmānam Viṣayān Tvanameva ca Anubhuṃte Kṣātyāte Tattāpnotya Buddho Bhavam Yatha
as
Shayana,
a sleeping person,
Atmanam, himself,
Vishayan,
sense objects,
Phalam,
the fruits,
Eva,
indeed,
Cha,
also,
Anubhuṃte,
experiences,
Api,
even.
Asatyate,
in that which is not real.
Tatha,
so.
Apnati,
undergoes.
Abuddha,
the unintelligent.
Bhavam,
material existence.
Translation.
As a sleeping person perceives himself, the objects of sense enjoyment, and the fruits of his acts within the illusion of a dream. So one who is unintelligent undergoes material existence. Purport. As stated in Shruti, Asango Hyayam Purusha, the living being has no intimate connection with the material world. This point is explained in the present verse. A similar statement is found in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Attehya vichamane pi samshriti na nivatate dayato vishayan asya sapne nata gamoyata. For one who is meditating on sense gratification, material life although lacking factual existence, does not go away, just as the unpleasant experience of a dream do not. Yatha shayan atmanam vishayan phalamevacha anubhunte visatyate tatta no pithya pudo bhavam. As a sleeping person perceives himself the object of sense enjoyment and the fruits of his acts within the illusion of a dream, so one who is unintelligent undergoes material existence. Om Agyana Timlandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Shaksumulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pesaya Pnale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesa Sunyodi Vasachade Shatarine. So, stated here in this verse, be home and clear existence. It's actually like a dream. In fact, it's a dream. In fact, it's a dream of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu lie down, and his yoga nidra. Universes are created from pores of skin by his breathing, and we are within that dream. But as in a dream, very often when we're in a dream, it seems very, very real. In fact, one goes through the emotions. Or what experience the emotions of what goes on in a dream. The emotions of feeling elated, happiness, distress, fear. It feels very real for the person when he's in that dream. Just like sometimes people, they may have gone through some trauma and this dream keep coming back. It's written that especially people who have been in who has been abused, or people who have been in war situations, they've been involved in somehow with some killing or something, sometimes it keeps coming back. It's like a demon keep coming back, and they go through it. Even when they're sleeping, they've been going through the sweating and moving hands here, tossing around in the bed. So it seems very, very real for such persons when he's experiencing it. But as soon as he just wake up and he realized, it was just a dream. I'm not being chased by a tiger. It's just like, for a long time actually, I always have this dream that I was always coming late for work. And it caused me great anxiety. I never figured out what it is about, but you know. And I'm always feeling anxiety. I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late for work. And then you wake up and say, I'm still alright. So similarly, the living entity in this material world, because he identify with the material body and identify with anything connected to material body, he also goes through these experiences of happiness and distress, of fear and so on. And for such person, it's very real. They think this is it. This is so real. Even sometimes, for a transcendentalist on the path of spiritual life, sometimes also when we get affected by the most of material nature, and we become our consciousness is absorbing it, we also feel, we also go through that emotions, that delusion. So therefore, the material energy is very, very strong, very stringent. How he's covering the material energy has two potency: to pull one down and to cover one over. And when one is covered over, he's covered over. Maybe more of goodness, passion, or ignorance, doesn't matter, but it's covered over. And one starts walking around identifying the body as a self and anything connected with it. But the fact is, as stated in Purva, Asango Heryam Purusha, the living being has no intimate connection with the material world. There's no intimate connection. It's actually, in some sense, you can say it's separated. But, like in the dream, we think it's all so real. Isn't it sometimes when I mean, we don't have to talk even about those who are completely in ignorance. But even for devotees, for example, sometimes we are overwhelmed by the most of material nature, and we become deluded. And we think, someone may try to speak to us, and we say, no, you don't understand, I have this problem, I have this mental condition, I'm this and that, and this affecting my spiritual life, I cannot serve Krishna because of this or because of that. And so just see the conditioning, the conditioning of how from lifetimes after lifetimes of association with the material energy, we become so conditioned to think in that way, that even though we know, we have knowledge, the first instruction of Bhagavad Gita, you are not this body, but yet, because of the conditioning, we still difficult to break through, break out of it, and we still become affected. Therefore, sometimes our devotional service is a bit difficult, because we are performing conditional devotional service. As long as our devotional service condition, we are still conditioned, we still have a bit of struggle, that going through some upheavals, some ups and some downs, depending on how we are affected by the most of material nature. When we are affected maybe goodness, then okay, we feel good. But sometimes we are affected by more of passion, or we may be affected by more of ignorance or combination of it, and we feel a bit down. So transcendental knowledge is very essential to really understand, and not just understand, actually knowledge really means to know and to act on this knowledge. That's what real knowledge means. To know is one, to know theoretically is one thing. You say, oh yeah, okay, I understand. But someone who really understands is one who has that knowledge, but he's also acting according to that knowledge. That's real knowledge. So, armed with that knowledge, as Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, armed with the sword of knowledge, one can cut through this labyrinth. We were discussing last night, my place, about how this material world is like a labyrinth. And as we get lost in the labyrinth of this material world, sometimes it seems like there's so many choices, isn't it? In the labyrinth, you can go this way, maybe this path, there's an opening here, and there's another opening here, and there's also one opening here. So the material world seems to be so many choices. And so, wow, we become later, wow, see, I have so many choices. I can go left, right, or I can go left, or I can go center, or somewhere between. But what happens is we go on into any of this path, and after a while, we get stuck. It's like a block. Oh, cannot go any further. I'm stuck. And we have to find our way back. And before I know, you're completely lost. We lose direction, sense of direction. We don't know where it's north, south, east, west. And it's completely lost. Just going around and around and around. So we are saying how, actually, one has a spiritual master. Spiritual master point. Go this way. Spiritual master is like someone looking from the top. He can see the whole picture. And he can see where each path will lead to. Someone who has realized knowledge, he knows. It's not like sometimes when you give instruction to devotees, they think this is some simple instructions like rocket science. But sometimes the instruction given is very basic and very is common sense. Now you know the story of this woodcutter and the sadhu. Or maybe one not even a sadhu. So this person was cutting. He was sitting on the branch of the tree and cutting. He was sitting on the outside of the branch and was cutting. So someone passed by and said, hey, you continue cutting like this, you're going to fall down. But he was too proud. He said, what does he know? Sadhu, I'm a woodcutter, I know. and he cut, and sure enough, the branch broke off and he fell down. And he thought, wow, that must be a great Paramahamsa. He can see past, present, and future. He can predict that I'm going to fall down. No? So, but it's not always like that, that sometimes in simple instruction, because we are covered by the most of material nature, we can't see clear. And when someone comes and who has a vision, he can say, no, this is the problem. Just do like this. It's very simple. Nothing complicated about it. Just do. And he thought, no, you don't understand. This is a labyrinth. It requires some very special skill to get out. You know, you have to find your way here and there. But someone looking in, he can see, okay, this is going to end up here, this is going to end up there. But if you follow this path, it's going to bring you right out of that labyrinth to where you want to go. But as you say that in the purport here, well, one who is meditating on sense gratification, material life, although lacking factual existence, does not go away, just as the unpleasant experience of a dream do not. When one has a bad dream, it still linger on. Even after you wake up, it still linger on. So he wanted his mind still absorbed in sense gratification. Then it's very, very difficult to get out of this material world, because the desire is not strong enough to get out. And therefore the determination is also not there. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vyavasa Yamika Buddhya. Bogaishvaya Prashaktanam Taya Parita Chestasam. Vyavasa Yamika Buddhya Samadhao Navidiyate. Boga Aishwarya. One whose mind is absorbed in sense gratification and still attached to material opulences, then the strong determination for devotional service does not take place. Samadha Navidiyate. It does not take place. Why? Because Bahu Sakka Hyanantascha. Because the mind of such a person is many branch. It's not focused. Devotional service has to be like a laser beam. Very focused. We were also talking last night how Prabhupada says that devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is like a razor blade. There's not too much leeway to this way or that way. It's this way, not maybe this way or maybe that way. It's a straight and narrow path of Krishna consciousness. You can want to go this way, yes. It may seem to be bhakti, but it may be karma mishra bhakti. Bhakti that is tinged with karma. Or you want to go a bit this way, maybe it's jnana mishra bhakti. Bhakti that is tinged with some mental speculation. That is, pure bhakti is one way. We are also talking a bit last night about, somehow it turns out to be a bit related also. That, for example, I was just reading an email that some devotee sent about a seminar that Jayavedha Maharaj gave some years ago about Kirtan. How, as the year progresses, Kirtan start to change in ISKCON. Different things were added into the Kirtan. And one reason may be that many devotees will not be aware of what Prabhupada has said and the rules Prabhupada has given on the standard for Kirtan. And sometimes we want to add things. After all, variety is the mother of enjoyment. Some they want to add some variety just to spice things up a bit. That's what happened. Sometimes I remember in the early years of my devotional service, well, I've noticed that sometimes devotees go to India, when they come back, they always add some spice to the kirtan when they lead the kirtan. There's something new they add on to it. And I was always wondering about that. But later on we heard how Prabhupada actually one very specific way kirtan is done. Some morning mangarati, it should be chanted this way. Special melody. There's even a tape recording of him teaching the devotees how to chant the Mangalarti prayer. Samsara davana narida loka. You should start off like that. And then Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, pass. And then called the Guru Puja song. You sing Sri Guru Charana Padma, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna. And same thing evening. And he said the morning melody should not be sang in the evening. Evening has its own set of melody. Kiba jayo jayo gaura chande. And then Sri Krishna, Hare Krishna follow the same melody. Very specific rules. And nothing else in the kirtan. It's not that they're not bona fide. It's bona fide, but Prabhupada has given specific. No? That this should be done. And he has, in fact, even stopped devotees in the kirtan. Sometimes we add, sometimes we hear, even here, I've heard on one or two occasions devotees chant, Bolo Hare Krishna, you know. And Prabhupada said, where did that come from? Where did the Bolo come from? Hare Krishna is 16 syllable. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There's no Bolo in the front of Hare Krishna. So things like that. He even sent devotees to stop his god brother. there was one god brother, very, very nice devotee. In fact, he was a cook of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta. And he was staying in the Vrindavan temple and serving the Vaishnava. He was cooking and serving the Vaishnava very nicely. So in the previous year, Prabhupada had instructed the devotee in the management position how kirtan should be done. So then one morning, this devotee, he was Prabhupada's god brother, he was chanting Mangalarti. And Prabhupada was in his room. And he called the servant. Do you hear what he said? Chant. He chanted, Bolo Hare Krishna. Go and stop him. I said, tell him, this is our temple and we want to have kirtan in a certain way. You can imagine, you know. He told you to go and stop the guru's god brother from chanting kirtan. But anyway, devotee, he did not exactly repeat what Prabhupada said, but somehow he got the message through in a mild form. And then at the time in France, New Mayapur, you know, in New Mayapur, the walls are so thick, it's a castle. Take castle. You can't, basically you can't hear what's going on. If you're upstairs, you can't hear what's going on downstairs. And Prabhupada was there, and I think it was in 76, and the kirtan was roaring kirtan. Devotees were jumping 3-4 feet up them. And they were really roaring kirtan. And you can't really hear, you just hear there's also a loud kirtan going on. You can't hear what was being chanted. And Prabhupada said, did you hear that? Devotees all quiet. Hear what? Do you hear that? He's chanting Bolo in front of Hare Krishna. Go stop him! And again he sent this devotee come. Stop! Prabhupada said there's no Bolo in front of Hare Krishna. So like that. So the path of spiritual life is very strict, as laid down by the acharyas. And Prabhupada, of course, he is the Sampradaya acharya. It's a Sampradaya, a child of ISKCON, a very strong branch of the Chaitanya tree. And he set down the rules. Just like he said, my books are the law book for the next 10,000 years. Anyone can say anything, but is it what Prabhupada has said in his books? Is it what he has written in his books? That is the standard we follow. Not anything else. So by if we're able to focus our mind on following instruction, then the path of Krishna consciousness becomes easier, so much easier. But if we leave it to ourselves, and inevitably we'll just become confused, become bewildered. Because the most of material nature is very, very strong. It's not just sometimes we deal with Maya as if it's just like, you know, big deal. I'm strong devotee. I'm fixed up devotee. I've been in the movement so long. But what does Krishna say? Krishna warns us in Bhagavad Gita, Daivihesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durachaya. It's Durachaya. Same is, this is my energy, and this energy is very, very difficult to overcome. But sometimes we don't heed Krishna's instruction properly, or we do not hear carefully. We just read and we just kind of glance through it or glide through it. But Krishna is warning us, it's very, very difficult to overcome. This is my energy. Maya, mayam itam tarantate. How is it going? There is a kunamai mama maya durajana. Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etan tarantate. But for one who has surrendered me, he can cross over it. So only one who has surrendered, taken full shelter of Krishna, he can cross over this most of material nature. But as long, to that degree we take shelter of Krishna, to that degree we will not be affected by maya. It's just like you're standing under an umbrella. How much, are you standing completely under the shelter of the umbrella or just halfway out? You still get wet if you're halfway out. But if you are directly under the umbrella of Krishna, sometimes if it's a heavy rain or strong wind, sometimes the water still splashed here and there, and you still get a little bit wet, but still we know I'm under protected. I'm under the shelter of Krishna. So, actually, when you come to think about it, as Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness actually is a very simple process. There's nothing complicated about it. What is complicating is we make it complicated. We make it complicated by every one of us who come to the devotional service, we bring our baggages with us. Different baggages that we've been carrying from previous life, so many lifetimes. We carry, and sometimes these baggages just get in the way. And sometimes there are things that we still attach to. Certain concepts we are attached to, certain ideas we concept of. And of course, the attachments are there, the desires are still there. That is what makes devotional service difficult, because of all these things. There's nothing wrong. Sometimes devotees foolishly think, oh no, there's something wrong with this practice. I've been performing devotional service for a few years and still I'm struggling. I still have this problem and that problem. Or I never had this problem before, but now I'm feeling all this. It's very foolish. And they go away. They blame the process of Krishna consciousness. But instead of taking responsibility ourselves, that, wow, there's nothing wrong with Krishna consciousness. It's the way I practice it. Maybe it is wrong. And maybe that's why I have to hear more carefully. Take shelter of some of my spiritual master. Take shelter of some senior devotees who can guide me. So it depends. A lot of things depends on attitude. Whether in material life or spiritual life, a lot depends on attitude. What is our attitude? Our attitude will also determine whether we progress or we become stagnant. We mentioned yesterday, someone asking also, that actually if we can just understand, I think I mentioned last Saturday also, if we can just understand a few basic points about Krishna consciousness and embrace those points, devotional service is a bliss. Just some basic points. Maybe whether we have realization, we may not have realization, but if we just embrace this understanding, some basic point about Krishna consciousness, it becomes smart. Let's try to understand that I'm not this body. We may not realize it. We may still be affected by pushing some of the senses, pushing of the mind. We may still desire, but at least try to understand and accept that principle. I'm not this body. And try to act accordingly. Pleasing the spiritual master is the key to pleasing Krishna. basic, more very fundamental point in Krishna consciousness, serving and pleasing the spiritual master. Accepting the instruction, the mission of spiritual master is my life and soul. Another very fundamental point. So things like that, if you just embrace them and try to dovetail a life around that, then Krishna consciousness become quite simple. There will be problem, there will be difficulty, but we will be able to easily overcome them. Because then the determination is there. You require a lot of determination. Because you know, stage of devotional service, sometimes we feel performing devotional service is like swimming upstream. Like swimming against the current. Everywhere around us, people are engaged in sense gratification. Everywhere. And so, practicing Krishna consciousness seems to be swimming against the current. Even there are many devotees also, even practicing, and there's still maybe a little here and there, and the strict path of Krishna consciousness is not there, and we become bewildered. So, you know, this old devotee, he's saying this and that, and he's saying this. So many people are saying so many things. But we always have to come back. What does Prabhupada say? What does my spiritual master say? Yes, what they say may be good for them. Maybe, maybe not. But what does my spiritual master say? What does Prabhupada say? What they say, that is what is good for me. Because I have taken shelter. So, by engaging devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, under the direction of the senior Vaishnava, then we feel safe and protected. Very safe and protected. And we can act with confidence that this is not just my mental speculation that I'm doing like that. It's confirmed. And if we have any doubts, we just ask, am I doing the right thing? Am I pleasing my spiritual master? Very simple. It's not like something you have to leave it to chance. You know, sometimes someone was asking his spiritual master, he said, how do I know if I'm pleasing you? And he gave two answers. One is that you know it. You feel it. If you're pleasing a spiritual master, you feel it. You're feeling satisfied. Or you can ask. In fact, you say, okay, ask now. And you ask, my dear Guru Maharaj, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I pleasing you? It's very simple. It's after all, it's a person, you know. Spiritual master is also a person, you can ask. I say, oh, yes, you're doing nicely. Just continue doing like that. And we feel confidence. Oh, great. Okay, I just continue doing. Or you may say, no. Nonsense, rascal. No, you don't usually do that. Now, this is what I want you to do. Of course, spiritual master will be able to say that if he knows the disciple is surrender. If he knows the disciple is not surrender, he may not say what he wants to say. So it's again, it's also the responsibility on the disciple to be surrendered, so the spiritual master can tell us what he really wants us to do. Otherwise, he tells us we are not surrendered and we will go away. I remember there was one time, one devotee, he was a big collector, but then he become bewildered by the most of my nature and he left. Oh, actually he wanted to do something. He wanted to start a restaurant or something, and his spiritual master told him, don't do it. Don't do it. This is not a good idea. And still he did it. He did it, and then he became completely bewildered, and he gave up practicing Krishna consciousness for some time. After some time he wrote, say, yeah, now I realize, say, I'm beginning to chant some rounds again and all that. And the guru wrote a reply and said, "You see, nonsense rascal, I told you not to do it. Now you get yourself into trouble." And then he picked up the letter, he saw, "I cannot send this letter." He crumpled and threw it away and wrote another letter. "Oh, it is very nice that you are chanting Hare Krishna again. Please try to associate with the devotees and try to make advancement in spiritual life." So you see, spiritual master is also very compassionate, knows how to deal. The whole idea of preaching is to uplift someone. Not necessary that you want to say what you want to say, but to say something that will uplift the person in his spiritual life, somehow bring him up a little bit, next level. So we are very, very fortunate to have so many advanced devotees in our movement that we can take shelter of, that we can take guidance of, and really understand what is the spiritual world, what is the material world, how to act in a way that we will not be entangled by the most of material nature. It's a very, very fortunate position. Sometimes we do not fully appreciate how fortunate we are. We tend to take things granted. That's a problem. We tend to take things for granted and not fully appreciate the facilities. This human body is so valuable. As Prahlad Maharaj said, it may be temporary, but it is so rare, this human form of life, because this human form is like a boat by which we can cross the ocean of material existence. And the Vedas are there. The spiritual master, the Vedas is like favorable wind. So everything is there for us to cross this ocean of material existence. But we have to take advantage of it. We have to realize our good fortune. That first of all, we have this human form. Because it's only in human form that we can go back home, back to Godhead. We were reading Ishapanisha yesterday with the purport, I was quoting the verse yesterday and I forgot. Nehabi kramana sosi pratyavaja navichates swapam apyasa dhamasya chayate mahato bayat. Even a little bit of advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous fear. And what is that most dangerous fear? Go back down to the lower species. Because in the lower species, there's no question of practicing Krishna consciousness, only in this human form. So it's such a rare gift, this human body. Very rare gift. And on top of that, we have come into contact with Krishna consciousness, with the devotees. Another very, very rare gift. It's only by great fortune. It was stated, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the living entity is traveling throughout the universe in so many different bodies. And by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, he may receive Bhakti Latabish, the seed of devotional service. And all of us have received the seed of devotional service. Such a valuable gift, the Bhakti Lata. And then we have to plan it. Just I was reading an article by Dina Bandhu Prabhu yesterday in Dandavat. He was talking about renovating Rohini Kund. So some devotees was asking him what they can do to help, to renovate Rohini Kund, because they have heard about how there are so many lotuses on the Rohini Kund. Used to be a lot of lotuses. So he checked and then he came up with a budget. This is what we need to do to excavate. This is what how much we have to spend to buy trees and plants, so on and so forth. But then he said, so many people that plant trees, but they're not maintaining it. And then he said, I've seen now so many trees that have been planted and then they just die because it's not being maintained. So he said, therefore we need another budget, monthly budget, to employ a mali, a gardener, to take care of the trees. So yes, the seed is planted in our heart, But now we have to take care of it. We have to cultivate and make sure that the weeds are not growing simultaneously. And be vigilant. Whenever the weeds are there, pull it out. Do not be alarmed. The weeds will be here. This is part of the purification process. It's just like when we are cleaning, sometimes the dust is appearing. So some anathas will spring up. It's good, because then we know what they are and we are able to pull it out. If it's not there, we don't see it, then we can't get rid of it. So as we progress, anathas will also comes out, and we just be a vigilant gardener, pull out the weeds and not let it choke up the tender creeper of devotional service. So this is very, very fortunate situation. And we have the association of devotees. Despite all their faults. It's just like the Englishman, they will say, England, with all thy fault, I love you. So we can say the same thing. You're from Wales and you don't know? England, with all thy fault, I love you. Anyway, you're from Wales, you don't know. You're not from England. So we should say, oh dear Vaishnava, we all know what I love you. Yeah, we may have faults. And like Prabhupada said, in the kitchen, you know, so many cooks may be cooking. There may be so many noises. But as long as everyone's goal is the same, to cook and offering for Krishna, that's very nice. So we see the motivation of devotees, that everyone is trying to serve Krishna, endeavoring to serve Krishna. They may have some faults, they make some mistake, and they may have some anathas. Sometimes they may even have some heavy character, isn't it? But yet we see this. We appreciate this devotee is trying to serve Krishna. And as long as he's a serious devotee trying to serve Krishna, I want his association. It was a very eye opener for me. I used to know one devotee, couple, friend, and in Madhuji, real heavy character. My friend, his wife was real heavy character. But she was very dedicated to her service to her spiritual master. Very serious devotee, but very heavy. You don't want to cross her path. It was just... And on top of that, she's German. You know, German can be... Oh, in German? Sorry, Mataji. That can be very blunt, you know. So anyway, she had cancer. No, she has cancer. And I remember towards the last day, I called her up. I called her on the phone and spoke to her husband and spoke to her. She was not concerned about her health. She was just telling about Krishna's pastimes and service to the spiritual master and you know. And at the time of that, she was remembering Krishna with Kirtan and went back home back to Godhead. And I thought, wow, this is far out, you know. Krishna consciousness is far out. Despite our faults, despite whatever we may be, but we just simply just try to practice Krishna consciousness, serve the spiritual master, serve Krishna sincerely, we are taken care of. And it made me realize, yes, this person maybe have some bad quality or whatever due to the past, but the most important thing is he's sincerely trying. And we can appreciate that. We can appreciate that. And we can appreciate that every devotee is making endeavor. Everyone goes through their difficulty. It may not be easy all the time. And yet we see he's hanging around. He's sticking it out. He's still trying. And that is very admirable. And we appreciate. And we are very fortunate to be in the association of such devotees who are actually making the endeavor every day to serve every day making an endeavor to make advancement. These are heroes. These are our heroes. They are real heroes. You know? That despite, even though they may be swimming upstream, everything is just going against it, but still they're sticking up. They're trying to surf. So we are very fortunate to have the association of such devotees. And of course, Prabhupada's books are there, DVDs are there, so many instructions are there. So nobody can lament and say, oh, you know, I'm not qualified to become Krishna conscious. I cannot make it and da 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 da. Yes, we may not be qualified, but we have so many qualified people around us who can help us. We may not be qualified, but if we have just one qualification, you have the humility to take shelter. The humility to take shelter of someone who can help us in our spiritual life. That is at least good enough to start with. Yes, who is qualified anyway? But we have a bit of intelligence to take shelter of the devotees, and that's our greatest asset, our greatest qualification. So then all these problems will gradually just go away, and spiritual life become an established fact in our life. One day we will just think that despite all the problems we may be facing, the difficulties we may be facing, you say, this is my life. Devotional service is my life. I am a devotee of Krishna. This is what I do. It may be easy, may be difficult, but this is what I do. Just like the materialists. They go through whatever difficulty, they perform the austerities, they make their sacrifices to do what they want to do. They don't think much about it. They say, oh, this is what I do, I just do. This is my life. This is my family. I have to take care of my family. So I have to do what I have to do. They don't get too mental about it. Of course, if they start thinking too much, they end up depressed. So devotee, we have to come to a point. This is what I am. I'm a devotee. And as a devotee, this is what I do. Maybe easy sometimes, maybe difficult. I may have to perform some austerities. I have to make some sacrifice. But this is what I do. This is me. Well, that's a nice feeling. So thank you very much. Are there any comments and questions? Yes, Mataji.
I wanted to add a little comment about your point for the kirtan. Because also sometimes on different appearance sides we sing different mantras. Like on Ramnavami we often sing Ramapati Raghavan. There's also a story where Prabhupada really stopped that. But the devotees on Ramnavami, they were singing that mantra.
Oh, you even stopped that on such days?
Yeah, and Prabhupada got really furious and said, no need for any other mantras. It's all included in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So no need for all these different mantras and different appearances. But very often we don't do that either.
There you go. Javita Maharaj made the comment about the Jaya. We're so into the Jaya thing. At the end of every kirtan, there has to be some Jaya. Jaya this, Jaya that, Jaya so many. But you say you don't hear Prabhupada singing any Jaya this, Jaya that. Okay, Sri Prabhupada ki Jaya.